In today's episode, I'm speaking with Paige Adams, Group CISO at Zurich Insurance. You probably already know the company, but in short, Zurich is a global insurance company which is organized into three core business segments: General Insurance, Global Life, and Farmers. Today, Zurich employs more than 55,000 employees across 200 countries. Paige has been a member of the Zurich executive team since 2014. He has served various information security roles at Zurich North American Group before assuming his current role as the Group CISO. Prior to joining Zurich, Paige spent a 26-year career in the United States Navy, specializing in operational intelligence and cyber operations. Paige is now based in Zurich, Switzerland. Paige, it's such an honor to have you on our podcast. Thank you so much for accepting our invite.
Hi, Nico. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Let's get started with our first question around SOC. The SIEM market is booming, as we all know, right? We see a lot of innovation, improved detection capabilities, some merger and acquisition on the top as well. So we see a lot of customers moving away from legacy SIEMs to modern SOC solutions. As a global CISO, Paige, how do you view this evolution?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's really needed, if for nothing else, than the detection and response capabilities that you get in newer solutions. It's light years above, you know, what we saw 5-10 years ago. With the enhanced detection and response, of course, they're more capable of handling today's threats, which come at a greater velocity, greater variety, and just more complex than what we saw. And I think it's outpacing what could be expected in what was really highly manual solutions 5 or 10 years ago. Also, the scalability and flexibility of new modern systems really allow you to adapt to the needs of a modern enterprise, which may be on-prem or in the cloud in a hybrid environment. So you get a lot more flexibility. Also, the integration and automation capabilities are greater. So you can integrate across a larger number of systems. And really what we're gravitating towards now is more unified platforms and allows for a lot more automation. So you can get a lot more done with less. And then I think the final component, or maybe the final two components, is one, cybersecurity skills are really at a premium. And so today's modern systems allow you to bring in someone that may not have as strong of a technical background, but it will assist them and get them up to speed in a very quick way and allow them to develop their skills as they learn how to interact with the platform. And then the final piece is there's a lot more metrics that you can get off of new modern platforms, which is very important as we're all trying to demonstrate ROI. Why are we investing in these capabilities in the first place? What are they doing for us? There's so much rich data that you can get out of these platforms now, which I think is really important in really establishing your business case.
Speaking of modern SOC, right, in your opinion, what's the best way to transition to modern SOC? Do you have any best practices to share with us, Paige?
Yeah, well, this is definitely a case where you don't want to eat the elephant all at one time. Which, by the way, I have to be careful with that analogy because my daughter really loves elephants and she doesn't like the fact that someone may be eating them. But going with that metaphor, though, what we really want to do is start off not trying to do everything at once, but it's really important to evaluate what are your current capabilities. So do a baseline assessment, figure out what you have that works well, what perhaps doesn't, and challenges you may have, and then set some very clear objectives from that. And then once you do that, once you set those objectives, of course, just like in any part of the business, you need to establish a business case. And it helps to get stakeholder engagement and support if you can sell people on the reason why you want to do something and tell a story around it with those objectives in mind. Then I think that leads towards a smoother transition. And then once you start to make that move and you've decided what technology stack is important and what certain capabilities you need, I think it's important to make a phased implementation approach. Don't try to do everything at once because, you know, if you're already running a SOC, you've got to do business. You have to continue with the business of the SOC and monitoring for threats and responding to threats day in, day out. So it helps to introduce slowly, or at least in a phased approach, run some pilot programs, especially if it's newer technology with which your SOC analyst may not be familiar. And then make sure that you can focus on integration with existing tools where necessary. And then I think critically, you can't just focus on the technology either, because at the end of the day, even in a highly automated SOC, it really comes down to the people and the processes that support that technology. So it's very important that from the outset, you focus on the training and the upskilling of your SOC analyst. You focus on the processes and process optimization and how current processes may change or may need to change based on that new technology. And then again, I mentioned automation earlier. Think about from the outset those things that are tedious for your SOC analyst, the things that are sort of menial, that are boring maybe, and think about how can we use this technology to automate away those things so we can preserve that brain power to work on higher skilled tasks. And I think once you've done all of that, it's just very important to put in a monitoring program so you can understand, put some clear measurements in place so you know where you are on your progress to those objectives and have a continuous improvement approach. And I think you continue to iterate on that over time and you'll be successful.
I would love to hear your thought around the compliance landscape in the financial services. So we see, of course, an increase of regulations, especially related to industry and AI, right? So the need for compliance program management as well. So I would love to hear about your perspective on this.
Yeah, well, it is particularly a challenge. And I think that the biggest challenge in that is just, as you mentioned, the evolving nature of the regulatory landscape, because it is changing constantly, particularly for global organizations, those that are in highly regulated industries such as finance, obviously. And it can be quite a challenge just keeping up with the sheer number and in what jurisdictions the regulations may be changing. So I think that it's important, and you also have to keep in mind if you are a global organization that there's a global compliance perspective, but there's also a local compliance perspective. Keeping all of that straight, I think, is the first challenge. You need to have the right people with the right background and experience that work with regulation and understand particularly the local markets or the local jurisdictions, and then have some system in place to be able to understand what is changing and how that affects your organization. You mentioned AI. For a few years now, we've been working around privacy, such as with the GDPR. And I think we've learned a lot from how we manage a large global program, or at least a program that affects a substantial part of the business, such as GDPR. And that lent itself well to what we now see is expanding privacy regulations across the world, which aren't the same in all cases as the GDPR, but we've learned so much from the compliance and how we manage those large programs that it served us well. And I think we're starting to see the same thing now with AI. So we're seeing AI in many markets emerge as a concern. We've seen it in the EU, we've seen it in the US, and we've seen it in other places. And so I think it's important that we be proactive and stay ahead of it and understand what's emerging and why, so that we can build that into our programs, into what I like to call compliance by design. We've seen security by design, we've seen privacy by design, and really broadly speaking, it's really compliance by design. So don't build a system and then figure out what regulation applies and then try to put something on top, try to build that into the system from the outset. And then I think another big shift here in the last several years across industry is moving from single point in time assessments to really a continuous compliance mindset. So if you've started out with compliance and you've built that into your programs and your systems, then it lends itself well to being able to monitor continuously. So you don't want to do a big annual assessment every year because that's cumbersome, takes a long time to do. And then you may find out too late that, oh, you need to rework something to make it compliant. Continuous monitoring gives you the ability to have a lot more agility in what you do. And then I think it's also important for, we've seen this certainly the case in my own organization, to have proactive engagement with regulators and with industry associations so that we can have those meaningful dialogues on topics that may be of concern to governments or to the general population, so that we can talk about where the real challenges are and together perhaps suggest some meaningful ways forward. That's something that's really worked well for us, and I think it's really powerful. Industry collaboration is very important. I know I talk to my peers quite a bit. We talk about regulation, emerging regulation, and how we're all dealing with that. And I think it's very good to be interlinked and to have an understanding and support each other in that way so you can learn from folks that may have tried something and it didn't work or they found a better way to do it. So it's really a share of the wealth kind of issue there. But I think those are the big topics or the big lessons learned for us with regard to regulation. But I don't expect it to decrease anytime soon in terms of the sheer volume or the speed or even the changing nature of it. Probably the last takeaway I'd like to say is that the big thing that we promote, obviously, is not no regulation because we think it's needed, but smart regulation and harmonized regulation. So if we can have harmonized policies, be it cyber or AI, that's the best case scenario.
Here is the final question for you, Paige, and this is the one I'm asking to all our speakers. So what's your best advice to retain your top talent? Do you have any tips to share?
A lot of years leading teams of dedicated professionals, and this is something I've really thought about a lot. I've really tried to distill down over the years what's important, what keeps a team motivated, what keeps them engaged in doing what they do. And what I realized is that the single most important thing is to create a purpose-driven culture, because nothing speaks more to a person than knowing that they're making a difference and knowing that their work matters. So I think it's important as a leader to connect the day to the broader mission of the organization so you can explain how people fit in and give them challenging and rewarding jobs to do. And I think it's particularly easy in cybersecurity because everything's challenging, but it's also very interesting. And it's also very powerful because I think that there is very much a real day-to-day connection with most cybersecurity professionals in being driven by this purpose of protecting critical data assets, but also people and contributing to the safety and security of not only your organization, but the world as a whole. So it kind of almost feels like a higher calling in a way. So it's really easy to make that connection and let people know that their efforts are valued. The other thing that goes hand in hand with that is I think it is so important to invest in continuous learning and professional development for your team. Cyber skills are changing. They're highly perishable. So it's so important that you afford your team the opportunities to go to training, to learn the new threats, the new technology, the new regulations that are coming out, and be able to adapt to those. And then offer a path for career growth. And this can be ranging anywhere from making sure that you have the right succession plan in place, to making sure you're creating those promotion opportunities, or even just giving people stretch goals and challenges in their day-to-day work. You don't want people to feel like they're just treading water. You want them to feel like they're moving forward. So always provide them some challenges that allow them to stretch their wings and fly. Creating a collaborative environment, though, is another piece that I would say is really critical. You want to create a team where there's a free flow of information. You want to create transparency. And you want to have an inclusive team too, so that everyone knows that their opinions matter, that their opinions are valued, no matter what their background is. Creating that kind of transparency and trust, I think, has been really a hallmark of all of the high-performing teams that I've been a part of. And then, of course, I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't say that compensation does play a role in that. Although what I found over the years is that compensation is rarely the reason why a person decides to stay or leave an organization, although it can play a role, you first have to have this purpose-driven culture. So I think it's really about, at the end of the day, do people feel valued? Are they making a contribution? And do they feel like they have a rewarding future in the organization? And then, this has been a mantra of mine over the last few years, I've already mentioned automation a couple of times, but if we can take away the really boring work and have people spend more time on the really interesting things, the things that really engage their minds, then I think that really helps create that environment where people are enthused about coming into work every day. And sometimes you have to pry them away from their monitors at the end of the day to get them to leave. I think that's really it in my view.
Paige, thank you so much for sharing this insight. It was a real pleasure to have you in this podcast.
Well, Nico, thank you. The pleasure was all mine and happy to do it. Thank you.
Don't forget to share, subscribe, and give us a good rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you like this episode. We also appreciate your comments on the show. Just drop us a note. Your feedback drives our improvements.